This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In November, Michigan voters approved Proposal 2, which creates an independent commission to draw the lines for congressional and state legislative districts. Previously, that work was done by the state legislature. A new report prepared by graduate students at Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School of International and Public Affairs says the new commission presents a great opportunity, but also a great challenge. Sam Wong is a professor of neuroscience and molecular biology and the founder of Princeton University's Gerrymandering Project. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's begin with that great opportunity. What's the opportunity that's in front of Michigan with this new redistricting commission?
Well, the opportunity in Michigan is to undo some partisan gridlock and also to undo partisan offenses that have happened in the past. Redistricting in Michigan is contentious, and quite often the process has ended in deadlock or ended up in the courts. So with the passage of Proposal 2, 61% of Michiganders voted for a commission that would take the process out of the hands of legislators and put them into the hands of a citizen commission of Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters who don't affiliate with either major party. So it's a big chance to give to create a roundtable where everybody has a seat at the table, everybody can contribute to fair districting, and create a plan for both Congress and legislative seats that represent a wide range of interests. So it's a new page for Michigan.
And what are the biggest challenges that this commission is going to face?
The big challenge is that it's essentially starting a state agency from scratch. These are citizens who are not legislative employees. They're not state employees. They're going to be people who are trying to do their best, but that involves hiring experts, establishing a relationship with each other. They're strangers who haven't met for the most part. They have to establish a trust relationship and get going. They have to get public input and draw lines. And so there's really taking these dozen odd people and putting them together to form a team to do a task. And that's going to involve representing a lot of different communities in Michigan. And that's a big job. It's going to take a couple of years.
So they're not going to be experts on how you make congressional districts or state legislative districts, how you draw these maps. But if you were talking to someone who wanted to apply and said, you know, I think I'd like to do this, what sort of basic knowledge do you think someone should have, or what sort of things do you think that they should read up on before they become a member of this commission so they can serve the state well?
Well, I will say that the students here at Princeton University and I did a pretty thorough job, I think, in spelling out the kinds of things one might want to know. We looked into it. We studied Michigan's politics, geography, federal law. And so one place they could start if they wanted to get a taste of what they'd be in for would be to take a look at our report, which is at gerrymander.princeton.edu/Michigan. And so if they went and looked up that report, they would see everything from federal law to what the Voting Rights Act requires, to the somewhat checkered history of Michigan redistricting, and they could even take a look at some maps. One thing that's interesting about this commission is that anybody in Michigan can apply. If you're a registered voter, I believe, you can enter a lottery to become a member of the commission. It's going to be a selection process that's at random throughout the state, but ensuring geographic diversity. And so you register by postcard or application, however Secretary Jocelyn Benson sets it up. And you have a chance at joining. There are no barriers to entry other than being a Michigander. And what that means is that people are not selected based on expertise. And so the good news is you don't need to have any special expertise. And what you need is to care about your community and to care about fair representation for, say, people who live near you. The better news is that this commission is going to have staff that's going to help it out. And so at some level, you don't have to be a nerd who knows how to draw maps in some geospatial computer program. What you need is to know your community, whether it be Kalamazoo or Lansing or Grand Rapids or Hamtramck or Detroit. Or the Upper Peninsula, you just need to be from a place in Michigan where you care about how you get represented.
You mentioned this report that there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on this commission. This is what's happened in other states, which have formed independent commissions to draw these districts. Might a lot of scrutiny be on these people who identify as independents? Because there's always going to be the question of do they truly have a lean one way or another to some political party? And of course, it's you can't prove a negative. You can't prove that you don't. Do you think that might be where a lot of the scrutiny is going to be when people look at this commission?
Yeah, there could be some issue there. Other commissions that have formed have done it a few different ways. One of the earlier commissions in Arizona had two Democrats, two Republicans, and one independent. And that put a lot of trust in that independent. And eventually she came under scrutiny and accusations of partisanship. I think that kind of accusation is inevitable because, as it turns out, most independents are not that independent. They still tend to vote one way or the other. A second shot of that was in California, and California had multiple unaffiliated commissioners, and that was better because it was distributed across multiple people. The Michigan Commission is going to have five independent commissioners out of 13, and even though individually they may have tendencies to be more favorable to one party or the other, there's five of them, and there's a voting rule in this commission where, in order for any plan to pass, members of each group of the commission, Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated, there have to be some votes from every group of the commission to pass a plan. And so it's a plan that's designed to build consensus. It's designed to come up with compromises where maybe not necessarily everybody is happy with what came out, but everyone feels like they got a little something. So I think that it's really important that there be multiple commissioners, as the law in Michigan now states, and that these people get together and work together in good faith. I think there's some safeguards here to make it go well, and that part seems like it's pretty well crafted.
In terms of implementing the plan, is there another state that Michigan should look at and say that state seems to have gotten this right in terms of taking their independent commission, getting it off the ground, and creating new maps in a way that the public has by and large accepted as legitimate?
Well, I think California did a pretty good job, and California commissioners, Democrats and Republicans, seemed pretty happy with it. My students and I fanned out and in searching for input on how to do things, talked to officials and stakeholders in Michigan, talked to academics and commissioners in California. And the general sense we got from California commissioners was that things went pretty well there. They hired technical staff that was pretty good. They went to public hearings together. They broke bread together. They traveled together. California is a very large state. And so they drove and traveled all over the state. And so they got to know each other. They didn't talk about redistricting when they were at meals together, but they talked about other stuff. And they established a trust relationship. They had public hearings. That was pretty good. And that's something that's a feature of the Michigan law. I would say most things in the California experience turned out pretty well, and most communities in California were pretty pleased about how it turned out in terms of making sure that they got representation in Sacramento.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Sam Wong is the founder of the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. They have recently prepared a report on the challenges for Michigan's new redistricting commission. The report was prepared by graduate students in Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School of International and Public Affairs. A lot of people will look at how districts are shaped often and say, well, that looks funny, or they'll talk about, like, the earmuffs, I think is the one Illinois. You advise us in this report, though, that the shape of the district may not be the thing that we should be focused on, because sometimes we have to have some odd shapes if we're going to meet some of the criteria that these maps are supposed to meet.
Yeah, shapes are the intuitive way that people get into districting, and it's easy to make fun of a shape of a district. Not far from where I am in Princeton, New Jersey, there used to be a district that was shaped like Goofy kicking Donald Duck. And if you enter that into a search engine and you say, find me a district that's shaped like Goofy kicking Donald Duck, there's a crazy shape. So shapes are easy to mock, but sometimes they're necessary. So in a pluralistic society where you have different ethnic groups, different economic groups, all trying to get fair representation, sometimes the shapes have to be funny. You mentioned the earmuffs district in Chicago. That district actually appears to be necessary under the terms of the Voting Rights Act, because there are two Hispanic communities in slightly different regions of Chicago, and the way that they were able to gain representation was by joining those communities. And so that district could be argued to be basically a requirement of the Voting Rights Act to make sure that Hispanic communities in Chicago got at least one district where they would have some voice in legislation. So the Michigan law emphasizes two other priorities that are higher up on the list of criteria. And the criteria are representing communities of interest. So that could be Hispanics, could be, you know, farmers, could be different groups. And the other is treating the two parties fairly. And so what the law in Michigan says is that communities of interest should be represented and the parties should be treated fairly. And those take precedence over shape. So shape is a criterion in the new law, but it has to be traded off against making sure that people get represented.
Yeah. And speaking of treating the parties fairly, at one point in the report, it says that if you have a state where Republicans won 53% of the statewide vote and they held 9 of the 13 congressional races, you ask, would the same outcome occur for Democrats if they won 53% of the statewide vote? And if not, then this hypothetical map would be said to be provide asymmetric opportunities to the two parties. Now, Michigan has a very closely divided state where it's often very close to 50% for both parties, for Congress and the state legislature. Republicans have held the majority of seats for a while. What Republicans have been arguing in the current redistricting case that's in court is that Democrats have a geographic problem. It's where they live. They're in larger cities. In the case of Kalamazoo, perhaps not a larger city, but a college town. And so people tend to live closer together. I guess the question gets to be, how does a redistricting commission try to get at that question of you know, where people live and therefore how do you draw the districts to represent them fairly?
I would say that Republican claim is partially true and partially not. And that's an example of starting with a true statement and then kind of spinning it out a little bit beyond where the facts would go. It is true that voters arrange themselves these days so that there's a tendency for urban voters and people in population centers to vote Democratic. And there's a tendency for voters who tend trend Republican to live in more sparsely populated areas. And so that does tend to build a little bit of advantage for Republicans, but that's a small advantage. And so what that means is that it's something to keep in mind as one draws lines. Natural lines in Michigan would tend to favor Republicans somewhat. But if you look on our report, we actually, on I believe on page 45 of our report, we draw some different maps and we show that there's a range of different outcomes that are possible with the same population pattern, where you can draw a Republican gerrymander that's a lot like what was in place, that's actually a lot like what's in place right now, which is 9 safe or leaning Republican districts in Congress and 5 safe or leaning Democratic districts. But it's also possible to draw a map that favors Democrats where it's 8 safe or lean Democratic districts and 5 safe Republican districts and 1 toss-up. And so you can get a wide range of outcomes with the exact same map without moving any people. The people stay in the same place, and then you move the lines around the people. And then, of course, in this report that the students and I prepared, there's also a map that shows partisan balance that's someplace in between. And the in-between map that we have is 6 Dems, 6 Republicans, and 2 toss-up seats. So, you know, on net, what I would say is that Republicans have a point in saying that there's a population advantage for their side, but it's a small one. And that's not to be confused with a big advantage that comes from creative line drawing.
The report says that the current districts, by their nature, favor incumbents. I suppose just about every map favors incumbents because they're currently the ones that are in place. And so it recommends that the commission take a fresh look at these maps. And as we come up to this census, it's largely believed, and it's addressed in this report, that Michigan's going to lose a seat in Congress because the state's population is not kept up with other states. So will deciding how you reconfigure that congressional map maybe be one of the first major tests that this redistricting commission faces to see, are they favoring incumbents, not favoring incumbents, and how the partisan balance is going to shake out?
Yeah. At the level of Congress, if current projections turn out to come true, then this commission will have no choice but to start somewhat from scratch because there will be one fewer district. It'll be like a game of musical chairs where one seat in Congress went away from Michigan's point of view. The law says that incumbents should not be favored, nor should they be disfavored. And one of the best ways to do that is to simply not take into account where the incumbents live and to not look at current lines when drawing the new lines. To some extent, that's a pretty good strategy. I think in actual fact, it's going to be hard to not think about the existing lines. But the law says that incumbents should not be given special treatment. And so that'll be the case for Congress. In the case of the state House and the state Senate, the number of seats there will stay the same. And so there could be quite a lot of pressure to take care of incumbents. But the commission has a mandate that's now part of the state constitution, which is to, as best they can, not take into account the desires of current legislators. And practically speaking, what that means is that at a minimum, in the first election after redistricting, everybody's going to have to work pretty hard to get their new seats. And then after that, there'll be a new crop of incumbents for a decade.
So one thing I have to ask you before we wrap up is how someone who's a field of expertise is supposed to be neuroscience and molecular biology ended up working on gerrymandering.
Well, that's a good question. It is true that my laboratory here at Princeton University studies neuroscience. We study how the brain works. But I would say broadly, think of me as a data scientist. So I actually have two research groups here. One is the neuroscience group, and then I have another group, which is the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. And they're at gerrymander.princeton.edu. You can see their faces and hear about their interests. And so in both cases, it's taking large data sets and trying to come up with some kind of order, come up with some kind of a story that emerges from the data. And what I find is that data problems often require the same mathematical tools. And in this case, the kinds of big data tools that I apply to make sense out of the brain also turn out to be kind of useful when trying to understand something as complicated as drawing a fair map. So, you know, it's all math.
Sam Wong is a professor and the founder of Princeton's Gerrymandering Project. A link to the report from Princeton University graduate students on Michigan's new redistricting commission can be found at gerrymander.princeton.edu. There's also a link at wmuk.org. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to WMUK's West Southwest podcast through Apple iTunes and by searching for podcasts in Google Music. Interviews can also be found at our website, wmuk.org, and through the WMUK app. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.